Hi, this is Joe Patty. Thanks for listening to WRTI Online. This service is made possible through the support of WRTI's members. You can become a member, too. Since you're already online, just visit www.wrti.org and click the Become a Member link on the upper left corner of the webpage. You can also join us by phone at 1-866-809-9784. Your membership will help keep WRTI's broadcast and online services strong. And again, thank you. Now, on with the show.
The role of the costumer in film cannot be overstressed. Clothing contributes to the overall scheme or mood of the film. It conveys personality, age, class, wealth, and status of the characters. The current exhibit, Fashion in Film at Winterthur, invites one to step behind the scenes into the intricate world of movie making and see actual costumes worn in notable films by some of our favorite actors and actresses. Our guests are Winterthur's host curator, Kathleen Kiefer, and Nancy Lawson, the American representative for the renowned British costumer, Cosprop.
This exhibition is really important for many reasons, but one reason that we can all understand is that when you're seeing one of these period costumes, especially one by Cosprop, whose reputation is based on their authenticity and their attention to detail, when you're looking at a film, you only see, let's say, the shoulder, or you'll see somebody walking away or something like that, and you won't see the very intimate details of the costume. You won't see the beading and the embroidery and the beautiful, beautiful fabrics, the silks and the satins, and here you can. So it's fun to see somebody that they've actually touched their skin, they wore it, and it means so much to the actor himself or herself.
Well, let's start. I guess we started with Cinderella, which isn't a bad way to start, because you feel like you're in a fairy tale when you walk in.
This movie supposedly takes place in the year 1510, but it's, as you said, it's a fantasy, and we have a lovely still, a large still next to it, that Drew Barrymore is smiling, her beautiful smile, and this is actually the dress she wore. The wings here, there are probably about three sets of wings, I would say. We call them in the business doubles or triples, because if you saw the movie, they do get distressed. She's caught in the rain, and they get all muddied. So this is the pair that is in good form. And what were you saying, Kathleen? You were putting it on.
Oh, as I was doing the condition assessment, when the costumes came in, looking at the wings and that beautiful metal wire structure, the way that it's put together, it's like jewelry making. Beautiful little soldered elements, and I was very impressed with the fineness of them. And you can see that here in the exhibition, the way it's lit, and you can get close enough to really see the structure of these wings.
What kind of fabric is that?
Tulle that's stretched over, so it's a very diaphanous look. And then you do see the beautiful curving, arcing metal structural components as well. And then there's a lot of hardware on the back of that dress where those wings fit in.
Yes, so. I would imagine. And it looks very small, as I said, when I first walked in. Suddenly, now, Nicole Kidman is on, 5'10 or something?
She's
very, very tiny.
She's actually close to 6 feet.
Yes, and when you look at these, a lot of these look very much, oddly enough, like when you go to the museums to see the exhibits of historic costumes as well. Mm-hmm. You said they were so short then. You know, they were so small then. Now, for instance, this one.
These two are from the movie Dangerous Liaisons.
Oh, yes.
That's a Rococo period. Yeah. And this gives you an example. And we also have an even earlier picture here of Elizabeth I. So this is when they all wore corsets. Corsets actually started in Spain. Spain, for quite a while, was the fashion center of the world, and not until Louis XIV... And then certainly Louis XV did France become, well, as we know it now, the fashion capital of the world. So, corsets and ruffs started in Spain. And John is very, very particular with his actors that they wear the underpinnings mm-hmm. that they wore at the time. It makes a huge difference. And the actors really appreciate it, because they can only stand a certain way. They can only sit a certain way. They can't tie their shoes, you know. Yes. And this is the way that these real people at the time would behave, right, and the restrictions they would be under. So
now this is from which film?
This is again from Elizabeth the First. And in fact, next year I think they're going to have the sequel to that called The Golden Age. The sleeves on the Elizabeth the First costume is from the 1500s, very delicate embroidery. So you get to see that up close.
Yeah. And that's Cate Blanchett wore that costume.
Yeah. She wore this at the beginning of the film when she's dancing, and Elizabeth the First is just a girl, you know.
And they're wanting to convey her youthfulness and not what we're used to seeing with her in the very stiff costumes with the big ruff.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful colors in this one, too, the mossy greens and beautiful rose
pink. Yeah, and of course, this is another thing that the designers must think about. What colors, of course, did they wear and what colors are appropriate to the character? And at this time, in the 1500s, they wore jewel-tone colors. Starting in the Rococo period, 250 years later, they were pastel colors. And actually, this mauve-y pinky color was very popular at the time. Also in this period, which is kind of fun to think about, is that this is when they first started to do interior design. They had more time on their hands. And if you go to like a medieval castle, there's just like a chair, and there's a table, and there's a candlestick or something. But at this point, they had beautiful brocaded, settees, and they had curtains and so forth. And this is when the interior started to be reflected in what they wore. And this is another fun thing I'd like to tell people, because at this point they wore their paniers. And these women had to walk sideways through doorways.
Yes, so those were the crinoline for the hip.
Exactly.
Yes.
And so I don't think that French doors or double doors were invented then, but there certainly were a lot more of them then, so they wouldn't have to walk sideways through. They could just enter straight through the door.
Yes.
The things that we do to our bodies.
That's right. Fashion is vintage, as they say.
And these two are from the film Jefferson in Paris. And Nancy has a good story with the Spencer jacket on the female character.
There was this is when, fashion was really centered in France, but there was what they called Anglomania. And this is the first time the women started wearing jackets that were similar to men. The first, and then wore buttons that were similar to them. They never wore, we look at this jacket and we think, oh, they're just buttons. They never wore buttons like this. And it was handed down from the riding habits. Now, John Bright designed this film, and he was wondering, what is Greta Saatchi going to wear in this particular scene? There's a place in Japan called the Kyoto Institute. And he saw this picture and he thought, I'm going to do this. So he was inspired by this. I'm sure we get more photographs of what they had in this collection. This is to the period. This is original.
Mm-hmm.
So he copied this, and all that embroidery, except everything's finished by hand, but all that embroidery is done with a 1920s Canelli machine, embroidery machine.
Well, that's exactly what I was asking you about, the actual handwork and dressmaking.
But they, and all of this embroidery they did, but, obviously they don't have time. I mean, on the Bostonians, believe it or not, John was only given 3 weeks. And they pulled that together, and well enough that they even got a nomination, an Oscar nomination from that.
And this is Jane Austen's Sense and Sensibility. Yeah, the Ang Lee directed version.
Hmm. And Alan Rickman wore that.
Wonderful, wonderful actor, too.
He sure is.
And that's one of the fun parts of this exhibit, is that seeing these costumes, you get a sense of the actor, their stature and size.
Are you going to have an audio tour that goes with it?
We don't have an audio tour that goes with it, but we do have docents and guides that will give gallery guides. Mm-hmm. On the weekends, mostly those happen.
Okay.
But that's a possibility to get more information.
Now, I see something on the wall there that says perfect posture, and I guess that's what you were talking about, the stance and how the costume or the dress dictated the behavior and how one would walk and so on. Yeah.
Right, and what you'll find throughout the gallery, we have some interactive stations, so you can sort of try on these costumes figuratively. And this station here, we've got on the wall two plates, reproductions of 18th century engravings, a man and a woman. And these are from Winitar's rare books collection, Dancing Master's Manual. Yes. And they're showing the proper disposition of the body, proper carriage of the body. So what we'll have in front of the two mirrors are some footprints on the floor. So you can place your feet on the footprints and then align your body according to the engravings. And, you know, pull your shoulders up and back and get in that posture and feel what it would be like to be that actor and to portray the character appropriately in the period. So deportment, posture was very important in the 18th century. We also have someone coming to lecture on the evening of December the 5th, Christina Haugland from the Philadelphia Museum of Art. And she's going to talk about underwear, and that's one of her favorite topics, underwear and deportment. So that links really nicely to this
exhibit.
Which
would be a far cry from what we have today, isn't it?
Yes.
Right? I wanted to mention this because I think this is pretty interesting. One might wonder, why were corsets invented? You know, what's the purpose of that, or why were those big neck ruffs invented? And there's a couple of ideas that we have, and one is religion, wanting to keep tight and composed and in proper whatever way. But also, we also think it was just a general observation that lower classes were laborers and they would bend over to do whatever they had to do, shoveling or gardening or whatever. And they noticed that the aristocracy would be standing up straight. It's an indication that they didn't have to work for a living. And to put on these corsets, you have to have maids. You have to have someone literally tie your shoes because you can't bend over. So we think it was just another class distinction that they wanted to develop.
Well, it also was the beginning, I think, of forming the figure as well, because it certainly makes you look a lot better, and I don't know what the undergarments were like, but they didn't have bras, I don't think, at that time.
Not,
so that you had the corset to support. And then, and of course, again, it depended upon who was ruling at the time as well, who set the stage or the standard.
Well, and that's a good comment. With Napoleon, the Empire, exactly. And also in England, certainly, the Royal Academy opened at that time, the British Museum opened at that time, and they had the Grecian statues. So that was very influential in how they dressed. They started wearing white for the first time because, of course, then we thought the statues were white. We know now that they were painted. But white was first worn then, which is sort of a hard concept.
Now, what year is that?
We're talking about the late 1700s, and white was also started to be used because bleaching processes were developed that were a little easier for them to use.
Now, what film is this?
Pride and Prejudice.
This is Pride and Prejudice.
Yes.
That's, again, a remake.
Yep.
We're touring the Fashion in Film exhibit at Winterthur with host curator Kathleen Kiefer and American representative for Cosprop Costuming House, Nancy Lawson. Our guest today on Crossover.
These are new costumes based on, originals. And this is new silk from India. But this is exactly the same kind of silk, same colors, same patterns that they made then. They haven't changed at all in all these hundreds of years.
This is for the television adaptation, evidently, because that was a really wonderful film.
Oh, I thought so,
that
too.
That was just superb.
Yeah, the designer is a lovely person, too. Dinah Collin is really wonderful. And she had to look a lot into muslin and so forth. And muslin was also very popular then. In fact, it was so popular that it was devastating the economy in France. In Lyon is where they made silks. And people stopping to wear silks. And so Napoleon put out an edict that people had to wear silk. And in fact, when we walk into the next room, you'll see that the dresses get a lot more yardage in them. The style from Empire straight went to this great big skirts because he wanted people to buy more silk.
Which, incidentally, is still a popular style today, and it did go through a resurgence, I believe, in the 60s, where everything was the Empire.
Yeah.
And the line is very flattering. Now, the exhibition is divided into, I was told, three parts. Mm-hmm. Is that right? Mm-hmm. So the first part is the 16th through the 19th centuries.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then the second is...
Again, 19th century.
I guess also, but it's classic literary works. I think that's what you have done. And
right.
The last section is into the 20th century.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. And we're in the second section now here.
Oh, this is the second
section.
Yeah,
this is, or we're entering it now.
Okay.
Yeah.
When we entered the second room, we were greeted by a figure dressed in the style of Eugenio Onegin, based on the novel by Alexander Pushkin. A film was made that starred Ralph Fiennes in that role.
Pushkin himself was very influenced by the way he personally dressed by Beau Brummel.
Oh, that's interesting.
Beau Brummel is this is basically what he wore. And men's suits today are based on what he designed himself.
He was a dandy, I believe.
He was a dandy, what they call a dandy, although, as John Bright said to me, he doesn't think that he would like to be called a dandy in the modern sense of how we use that word. We think of a dandy as, you know, changing their clothes all the time and
or
being very fanciful.
Or very aware of what they're wearing,
exactly.
For a gentleman. You know.
He was very aware of what he wore, but you can see it was a very reserved. The tailoring was to the utmost. He didn't believe the lace that you see our other mannequin, gentleman mannequin, wearing. He wore no lace. He people copied his haircut. They copied the way he tied his tie.
But that looks like a much more formal outfit because the trousers are short.
The trousers are short.
Yeah, they're short with the high stocking. Now, this is the 18th century.
But you see, always before that, they always wore short trousers. And you'll see when we get to see what Ralph Fiennes wore.
Yes.
He wears a long trousers. And guess who decided how to do that? Beau Brummel. He invented the long, slim trouser.
Yes.
We think of just trousers, but that is who invented it.
Yeah, well, of course, they wore the high socks. And
yes,
the,
exactly. So that's a good point, I think, for the gentlemen are not left out of this exhibition.
Yeah.
Not at all. It's actually quite important. So, and this is our last room, although we have a lot going here. This is a room with a view, a simple, lovely, lovely dress.
That's so wonderful.
That Helena Bonham Carter wore. And in some ways... You could almost say that John made Helena Bonham Carter's look, you know, those dark eyes and that beautiful hair. Because this was the first film that she was in. And this dress and this blouse and skirt is totally original to the period. This beautiful lilac color.
Oh, isn't this gorgeous?
And this is the Titanic.
And this is the Titanic one.
That Nancy talked about earlier, yeah. And just for an extra in that film, but look at this exquisite dress. All the detail.
Well, I think that was a joy, probably, to design costumes for, because that period was so very, very elegant when the very wealthy had gone on this amazing voyage. And this you could wear today, I
absolutely.
Would say.
Oh,
it's absolutely glorious.
Yeah, 1912. Then behind you we have Out of Africa.
Oh, that's another one.
Yes, Meryl Streep is Isaac Denson, and that's set in the same time period. And this is sort of the first, modern.
Well, this already, you're getting into the 20th, the 20th century, really. This is 19...
It's beautiful ivory silk.
1910, I guess this is supposed to be. Yeah.
And this is when women started wearing suits.
Well, they were more, it was easier to get around, I think, also
exactly.
In the narrow skirt. And I do believe it was World War I. I mean, that was the beginning. You had the hobble skirt, and then they shortened it.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really the end of, I think, the full day dress as a gown.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and then we have our last three costumes over here.
Looks like something from Anna and the King of Siam, this little one, the children.
Oh, this is from
Indiana Jones.
Indiana
okay.
Jones and the Temple of Doom.
Doom, okay.
Yeah, the little Maharaja.
Jewel-encrusted. I think there are five necklaces, jewel-encrusted necklaces, rubies and diamonds. And then, I mean, some people might come to this exhibition. I mean, I think a lot of people are going to come to see what their favorite actor or actress role. This one is a dress that Madonna wore.
In the film Evita.
Evita. Bright pink dress is a direct copy of a Christian Dior at the time. Of course, this is the new look.
And then you look, wasn't that, what was that, the 1950?
Early
40s. Yes, the Dior was, yeah.
So this is
and she was very, very involved in fashion, Evita. Mm-hmm. Again, we had a trip to Buenos Aires, and we went to the Evita Museum, and they had some of her clothes there.
Mm-hmm.
And she was very, very much involved in the wearing the most...
And Buenos Aires is like the Paris.
Yes.
Latin America. Very fashionable city.
But it all in very good taste, I might add. Mm-hmm. She wore very much the style of the time, but they were also somber colors. This is very beautiful. This is for the film, of course. And this was Madonna.
Yes.
We've been speaking with Winterthur's Kathleen Kiefer and cost props Nancy Lawson. The fashion and film exhibit runs through January 7th, with additional special events such as Jane Austen Day, the book behind the film Family Day, Fall Forum on Fashion, and includes many other costumes which we couldn't possibly cover in this show. Winterthur Museum and Country Estate is known worldwide for its preeminent collections and is listed as one of the 10 grandest mansions in America. I'm Jill Pasternak. Until next time.